Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group, the world's leading and most diverse futures and options exchange. CME Group's markets help individuals and businesses around the world effectively manage risk. For access to free educational tools and resources for the active individual trader, please visit activetrader.cmegroup.com.
Every day, traders and investors dive in to tackle the ever-changing markets to find opportunity. Futures Radio Show is your number one source for answers to the questions that all market participants want to ask. Veteran futures trader Anthony Crudele sits down with the most influential leaders and top traders in the industry. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudele.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in for this episode with Mandy Poor-Rafsanjani. Remember, new shows are posted every Monday and Thursday. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and YouTube. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. Before I play today's interview for you, I want to give a shout out to the great sponsors of Futures Radio Show. CME Group, Trading Technologies, RJO Futures, and Top Step Trader. To learn more about these sponsors and the important things they are doing for futures traders, be sure to click on their logos on our website. Today I spoke with Mandy Poor-Rafsanjani. She's an independent trader and trader coach. We kicked off our chat today by talking about reasons why traders should be spending just as much time working on their personal edge as their strategy edge. We discussed avoiding distractions, regaining focus, the importance of journaling, and how Mandy believes traders should be journaling their trades. She shares with us the successes she's seen in traders after they've begun journaling, and finally we talked about how analyzing your trades can help you with your trade execution. Without further ado, let me take you right to the interview with Mandy. Mandy, thanks for joining me.
Hello, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always great to speak with you, Mandy. Now, I want to kick off today's conversation with a tweet I put out this morning. You know, I was sitting back having my coffee this morning and thinking about what we were going to talk about. I know we're going to talk a lot about journaling today, but I was thinking about how so many people work so hard about getting an edge in their strategy, but lack working on getting an edge on their on themselves. And so I put this tweet out this morning, and I'm going to read the tweet. I said, as a trader, I've learned that I not only needed an edge in my strategy, but I needed an edge about myself. Many solely work on their strategy edge while they lack working on their personal edge. To me, being a trader is more than just focusing on the technicals or the fundamentals. And I strongly believe this because once I felt that I had a strategy for myself and I was very comfortable with it. I guess mentally I was beat up a little bit, obviously going through losing all the money that I did at the beginning of my account. And I felt that I lacked personal edge. So I had to start focusing on meditation, working out, doing things to better myself as a person to then now help me execute the strategy that I finally found and liked. So what do you think about what I wrote in that tweet this morning?
I absolutely love it, Anthony, and I just have it in front of me as well, because it is really true. It was the same for me. I started working on my edge like a world champion. I studied every strategy under the sun, every methodology I could find, every successful or seemingly successful trader I studied, and yet, you know, the success wasn't there. And it's like if you look at race car drivers. If you want to succeed as a race car driver, you need to have an amazing, really high performance race car, but you also need to know how to drive it. You also need to understand how to perform in the curves. I did some driver training with my car so that I can avoid having accidents. It's the thing with fast cars. You have accidents faster as well. And there's really a strategy and a system to it, how you drive into the curves, how fast you drive to the curve, how fast you get out of the curve. And this also comes down to how brave you are as a driver, because I remember I was really scared, and I out of my fears, I actually made a lot of mistakes that would have caused accidents rather than keeping me and my car and everyone around me safe. And it's the same in trading, isn't it? The fears that we have, no matter how great our strategy is, can cause us to lose our accounts and to really do a lot of harm. So absolutely, we have to work on ourselves and understand who we are as a trader.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I love that analogy you just put out there. And I want to go to Twitter because I always love hearing the feedback from other traders. And at Sir David Cooper put a couple questions out there. And I think they're really perfect for this conversation today. And I'll lead off with asking you the first one that he put out there is, what do you do to avoid distraction?
Okay, cool. What I find really interesting is, especially in the life of social media, that most traders are on Twitter whilst they're trading. Depends on your trading strategy as well, right? So number one, what is a distraction? You need to define for yourself what a distraction is, because I know traders who are not distracted by Twitter. They're actually being energized by Twitter and getting really good ideas from Twitter, and others being distracted by Twitter because they follow strategies or they follow trade calls that they usually wouldn't take, and then, they had a really great trading strategy written out and then they don't take it because someone on Twitter said the opposite. So what is a distraction for you? You need to define that first. And then you need to look at why do you give into distractions? So what is it that Twitter give you, for example? Let's assume Twitter is a distraction. What is it that Twitter gives you? Why is it that you want to be on Twitter? It's a connection, you know, it's a little bit of significance for us when we put our trades, right? It's making us feel like we are part of a greater community. When we know what needs are being satisfied with that distraction, then we can look at how can we replace the having this need satisfied with something more resourceful. So for example, if I have a high need for community and feel alone with my trading, well, the best time to fill up the silos of having social interactions before and after trading, but not during trading. And I remember Linda Rushke saying when she was here in Melbourne, we had a little chat. When she was trading, she would never ever be on the phone. She would no TV, no animals were allowed in the office, in her trading room, no phone even, and she would be completely focused. Now, for me, that doesn't work so much, but I have scaled back what I do on Twitter out of that experience when she explained how she kept herself focused. And I'm now more intentional with my distractions, if you want to call it this way. So I'm going on Twitter after my trading. So let's say I'm on the computer for 8 hours and then I take two or three trades. And after each trade, I go on Twitter and I connect again, fill up the silos and talking with people, because trading is very, it's lonely, right? Or I go to the cafe down the road and talk to people or go for a run. So when I know what my needs are, that comes back to knowing ourselves, then I can make sure that these needs are met in a resourceful, in a useful way for my trading, and I don't need to give into distractions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that was excellent. And the follow-up that he had was, what do you do to regain focus? And I think you nailed it all in what you just explained. So I want to talk about it for myself for a moment here. Mm-hmm. And I think the first thing that you mentioned is so important. You need to define a distraction. So for me, while I'm trading, coming from the pit, I remember being short and the biggest trader in the pit is bidding. And I'm sitting there going, Jesus, the biggest guy in the pit now is bidding. And I'm sitting here short waiting for this thing to go down and he's bidding into offers. And I'm sitting here going, is this guy going to run me over right now or what? So I learned earlier on in my career that I can't be worried about what anybody else is doing, because every time something like that would happen, they'd get me out of my trade and then I'd end up getting back in and then they'd be offering and then I'd be going, well, now they're going to go down and then I get short and just get myself all spun around. And I said, you know what? Enough of this. And you start growing a thick enough skin to go, I know what I'm doing. I don't care what they're doing. That carried over to me when I left and got on the screen that really anything that anyone says, whether it's on Twitter, which I do watch while I'm trading, or I keep the TV on, but most of the time it's on mute. But nothing really distracts me because I know what I'm trying to achieve while I'm trading. Where my distractions come from are outside. And that has really been something that no matter what in my career, I've had to always work hard on getting myself prepared mentally when there was something else going on outside of trading to come in and trade. And that could be anything from an argument with a spouse, worried about my dog because maybe they weren't feeling well when I had left that morning to go into work, or a friend or something had happened in your personal life that was on the tip of your mind. And what I have done to regain focus, it goes back to, at the beginning, we talked about working on your personal edge, exercise, eating right. I'm really a fanatic with that stuff now, especially as the older that I get. Not that I'm old, but I just think that every year that goes by, I spend more and more time on fitness, on wellness. And, you know, meditation's been great for me because at that moment, I could take a deep breath. Just the even a 5-minute meditation before I trade helps me get focused for the amount of time I'm going to be trading. And I really don't think about anything else. It drives my wife crazy that I keep my phone off while I'm trading. So if she does need to get a hold of me, she can't during that period of time. But I will check it periodically to see if she does need me, because that's obviously the phone call from family that you need. But I'm not thinking about it when I'm trading. So that to me is so important. And that's why I put that tweet out today. Now, I want to talk to you about the importance of journaling. And explain to everybody out there why you feel journaling is so important.
Okay, so first of all, we need to define again what journaling actually is. And what I see a lot of traders do, they just write down their stories and their pacing current experience, and they call it journaling. To me, this is not journaling. This is like writing down, writing a diary almost. Now, the purpose of journaling in my model of the world is to understand what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses, what do I want to do more of, what do I want to do less of, where do I need to grow, where do I need to scale back. And also, when you talk about distractions, like how do I manage with the challenges, how do I manage the challenges of life, how do I deal with that? And for example, one of my friends who's a hedge fund manager, he is really good at compartmentalizing. I know he had some family challenges, parents sick over many years, cancer, and yet he performed on a really high level year in, year out. And I asked him how he did that, and he said because he compartmentalizes his life in his mind. So like you, when he is trading, he doesn't think of anything else. His mind is shut down. He's got blinkers on for just trading. And then when he finished trading, he is then opening his mind again for everything else that's important in his life. Now, that is important to understand, because at the beginning, he said when his father got sick, he was distracted and he wasn't really sure what it was. And so he started writing down and looking for solutions. Yeah. So the reason why journaling is so important is that it helps us to find solutions and to find our weaknesses and our strengths, and then to be able to work with it in a manner that is a really important word that you used is wellness oriented. So being proactive and not having to fix problems, having to fix mistakes, but to make sure that you're so well prepared, that you know yourself so well, that you don't even get into situations where you're in dire straits and you have to crawl your way out of it. And that's what's so important about journaling. Now, also, I remember a really interesting piece from Steve Ward, and he said, if you ask a trader how their trading is going, what is the answer usually? What do you reckon, Anthony? How is your trading going?
My natural instinct is to say, yeah, it's going okay. You know, that's just my natural instinct, is not to be too high or too low about it, just to say, yeah, it's going okay.
Yeah. So what traders usually answer is they say, great, if they just had a profit, and they say, not so good or bad if they just had a loss. So this is how they define how their trading is going. Now, if you take it one step further, if you didn't ever get to see your P&L, how would you know how well you were trading? You wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
And whichever your answer is, even if you have your P&L, how do you know that your answer is true? What evidence do you have? What data do you have for your answers? And this is where so many traders fall over, because you don't know how many times traders get in touch with me and I ask them this question, how's your trading going? And then they give me the answer and I ask why, and they have no statistical evidence. It's all feeling based. They say things like, I self-sabotage my trading. How do you know? Or I just know. Well, where are the black and white statistics that tell us that this is true? And they don't have any. And so I ask them to fill in a spreadsheet with the last 100 trades. And I say, write down exactly how many of the last 100 trades were winners, how many were losers, and of the losers, how many were based on you not following your system, meaning you didn't get out in time when your strategy told you, and how many of them were losers where you did follow your system. And many, they don't come back. They don't want to do that. They're afraid of finding out something that they might not want to find out. They're expecting a really quick fix. And so in order to get the answers, in order to know what to work on, how to improve, we need to journal. There's nothing else to be done.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hearing you say that is exactly many conversations that I've had with other traders. And for me, that's why when you ask me that question, my natural instinct, no matter what is going on, is to say everything is okay, because in my mind, I don't like being too excited about winners, because every time I'm doing well, and if I even talk about it, I'm afraid that's going to have some sort of an effect on me the opposite way. Or if I'm not doing well, I don't even really want to discuss why I'm not doing well, because in my mind, I'm working my way through it, you know? So I'm always like, when everyone's like, how's everything going? I'm always like, yeah, everything's okay. You know, it is what it is, right? So I say that a lot, but hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying the show so far, but I want to pause and thank one of our sponsors, Trading Technologies. I started using TT in the year 2000, and I love it. It is by far the best trading platform I have ever used, and I've tried a lot of them. With TT, you can trade the global markets from virtually anywhere in the world. They are the world's fastest commercially available futures trading platform. I highly suggest you go try out TT, especially because you can try it for free. Just go to tryttnow.com and set up your account. Let's continue to talk about journaling. And how do you think that traders should be journaling? And also talk to us about some of the mistakes that traders make when they're journaling.
Okay. So as I said before, a lot of traders, they often just write down their story, what happened during the day, what they saw in the markets. They are not really journaling in a structured way. When I teach my traders to journal, I ask them to structure it, to, again, compartmentalize it almost, because we need to talk about what are the markets doing. So what's the market environment? We know the market has tremendously changed in the last few months, right, since October. What is your strategy doing? So how does your strategy perform in this market? Does it still do well? If not, what else can you add to your toolbox? What other car can you add to your stable, right? And then also, how do you as the trader perform? So it's the self-management, the behavioral patterns. These three areas need to be looked at and journaled at. We can use the P&L, the profit and loss, as a benchmark of knowing how we are doing. we can use performance metrics and statistics, how our process is going and how our process has created this P&L. And then we look at our behavioral patterns. How have our behavioral patterns caused or impacted the process that we are supposed to follow? And how has that then impacted the P&L? So this is how I would structure it instead of just writing a story that has no structure at all, because it's hard to find solutions or to find out what the gaps are, what the weaknesses are if we're not structured. Now, journaling is really challenging for traders. I don't know if you remember in our last interview, the conversation about the DISC profile, D-I-S-C profile. Traders who are very high in I, they're very feeling triggered almost. So they do what feels right, which on one hand helps them have extremely good intuition. On the other hand, the lack will be that they're not structured enough. And traders who are very low in C as well, they will not be able to think in such a way that they're able to structure their trading and to structure their journaling, let's say this way. So what they have to do is they have to learn from people who are extremely organized or read books, because it's hard for them to reinvent the wheel. How do I know? Because I'm a high I and a low C, and I found it incredibly hard. Traders who have freedom as a value and not as a goal will also find it hard to journal or to keep their performance statistics, because they will feel that it impacts their freedom. Whichever value, and I hope our listeners will understand what value means, otherwise they can Google it or send us an email and I'm happy to answer this concept. Freedom as a value is usually a sign that they don't feel free. So that's something that they aspire to. So everything that gives them structure and routine will feel as taking their freedom away, them feeling trapped, rather than understanding than having a structure and a routine and keeping performance statistics and do journaling actually gives them the freedom that they're seeking. And so if you put freedom as a goal, meaning I do whatever it takes in order to have achieved this goal, and even if it means doing a routine of journaling every day and looking at my performance statistics, then they will be able to do it easily. So we need to shift that. Now, the other mistake that I see often is that traders, they talk about what they should have done, what they could have done, what they didn't do. What that means is that they keep reinforcing the past. And so they keep stuck in the same pattern. They wonder why they can't get out of it. It's an affirmation that they say to themselves. In order to create a new future, what is useful to say is, rather than I should have gotten out at this level, to say next time I will get out at this level. So say the words next time. So anything that creates a new future is really important to write into your journaling after you describe what has happened. So we start with, this is what happened. This is what worked. This is what didn't work. And this is what I'm going to do next time. And so you prime your mind, you prime your brain to do better next time. The traders who are visual, they will often feel overwhelmed with numbers. And I should say traders who are visual, who are low in mathematical skills like myself, and I really have to train myself in maths all the time. So there's an overwhelm with numbers, and to really sit down and understand what the numbers mean, it just takes it once, right? Once you understand what the numbers mean in terms of the Z-score, in terms of, I forgot the abbreviations, but you know, the how far your trade went into profit before it goes into a loss, how far your trade goes into a loss before it goes into a profit. Those numbers are important and they're not overwhelming at all. You just need to sit down and really get it instead of thinking, oh my God, numbers, and then just get a blank mind and then run away and avoid this. Because so many traders, they avoid journaling because they're afraid that they're not good enough. And they're afraid that if they find out that their statistics tell them that they have areas to improve on, that they don't know what to do with that information. They don't know how to improve. They don't know how to read their statistics. So these are the main mistakes that I see. And also, of course, not doing it consistently. There's no point in doing your statistics if you don't do it consistently.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, consistency is key in journaling. It's just like we talk about a lot on this show when people are sending questions. Probably one of the most popular questions is, Anthony, I want to become a more consistent trader. Well, I'm like, you need to have a consistent process, right? And within that process is being consistent with your journaling. It's multiple things of being consistent with. So I want to mention that the DISC test that you're talking about, people can go to Tony Robbins' website. I think you could just Google DISC Tony Robbins, and then they could take that assessment for free. Now, do you recommend that traders do that first before they start to journal? Like, take us through the process for someone out there that has not yet started a journal, what they should do first, and then also any tools that you recommend that they should be using to begin journaling. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So if we look at trading, and this is from Steve Ward, it's called The High Performance Cycle from his book, High Performance Trading, which I'm a really big fan of. And so the high performance cycle is that you plan. So you create the conditions and opportunities for success. Then you implement, so you execute. And then your trade goes into profit, or your trade goes well, or it doesn't go so well, and then you evaluate your performance, and then you use that information to plan again for the next trade. Planning is what if thinking. If A happens, what would I do? If B happens, what would I do? So to prepare for different scenarios. The execution is pretty much controlling the controllables and focus on the process. And I don't know how to say that. There is this, I sent you this one as well, Anthony, this beautiful from Safal Vishek, when he says, you can control risk and your time and your emotions, but you can't control your returns. So that is controlling the controllables. And it's been all over the Twitter sphere as well, this beautiful this beautiful little drawing. And it's about controlling the controllables, knowing what we can control in our trading in order to increase our results. So once we have done our planning, because we need to do our planning so that we have a benchmarking, and we have done our execution and we have our results, then the real work starts. The real world work is start off with, have you done pre-market preparation? How do you feel? Have you had enough to eat? Have you had any distractions? As you said before, Anthony, are you worried about, you know, your dog not feeling well? Do you have a fight with your spouse? Whatever are the distractions, and tick it off like a pilot does. Have you done that? Then the second step is, so this is like really preparing for wellness, well-being trading. The second step is when you have your results, you look at your performance statistics. So the numbers, the hardcore black and white metrics that tell you how many losing trades that you have in a row, how many profitable trades that you have in a row. So really that describes how you have been performing in your trading. Now we want to change our performance. Right? We want to improve our performance. We want to reduce our losses maybe, or we want to lose the extent of our losses, or we want to increase our winners. Now we need to know what helps us to increase our performance. And there's this really nice approach from Tom Dante. He calls it the demon finder. I call it the 10 strikes out for my clients. And it make a list of the 10 most common mistakes that you make in your trading. And so that takes about a month in self-awareness, and find out what is the most common mistake simply by writing down each behavior. Have you followed your rules? Yes, no. Did you enter too soon? Did you enter too late? Did you take your profits too early? Whatever it is for you, make a tick when you have done that. So if you have, if your main mistake is that you enter too soon, you will find out very quickly because you give it 10 ticks really, really quickly. And once you know what your main mistake is, for most of my traders, I found out, Anthony, that they are really overwhelmed. They're like, I don't follow my rules. I'm not disciplined. I'm not patient. I said, what specifically is it that you do? And this is what journaling gives us the answers to, right? And they don't know. And then I say, do this for 1 month and tell me which is the main behavior that you do. And we find out that there's usually one or two behaviors that they keep repeating over and over again. And now the overwhelm disappears because now they know it's only one or two behaviors. It's not this really big unknown thing anymore. And now we can start doing some really good work. So I call these critical moments. And I also sent you a list that I compiled that, you know, happy for you to give to our listeners as well, if that's possible, maybe put it into the show notes or so, where I collected not only my most common behaviors that I did in order to sabotage my trading, but also those from my clients. And then traders can see themselves in it and makes them a little bit easier for them to find out what is the main mistake that they're doing. So mine is I call it the superhero syndrome, where when I'm doing well, I get out of a trade, the trade continues in the direction I re-enter, then the trade had just one last move into the direction again, and then it turned. And in that moment, I wouldn't get out of this trade anymore because I didn't want to destroy my beautiful profit. I didn't want to take a loss. And then this loss would usually blow out. So once you know what your critical moments are, what your most common mistake is, now you want to know what the trigger is for this behavior. And this is why we then do as a third step what's called cognitive journaling. And cognitive journaling is something where you say, this is what happened, right? So I did my superhero move again. I got out of this beautiful trade, had a massive, amazing profit, re-entered, wanted to double dip. It turns around. Now I'm not getting out and I give my profits back and even more. We want to know what is the feeling, what is the trigger that is there that you can use as an emotional guidance system that you're just about to do something stupid. So to give you an example again from wellness, sitting down many, many hours in front of the computer ended up for my back really badly. So I hurt my back. What I noticed was that just before I slipped the disc, right? Just before I slipped the disc, my calves were really, really tight. And I didn't see that there's a connection. The second time I realized my calves are tight again, and then I realized my back was hurting. So long before the disc slips, there's warning signs. And if I heed the warning signs, if I know my calves are tight, now I have to take care of my back, we can do the same with our trading. What are the warning signs? So for me, I know it's this feeling creeping up in my solar plexus. And I know this is the superhero feeling when I'm just about to double dip. Knowing that now, having this awareness, I can withdraw myself much easier from the computer than trying to fix the problem of now I have to take a loss and I don't want to do that. And then spiraling out into a really stupid trading mistake that is not necessary. Doing this kind of journaling, and when you have so much self-awareness that you know yourself so well, also gives you a lot of certainty, a lot of confidence in yourself that when you let it spin out, when you didn't see the signs, that you get out of the trade much faster because you start laughing at yourself and you're a little bit more lighthearted rather than being upset and annoyed about yourself. Because now you feel that you have control over your behavior, you have control over the situation in such a way that you can control your behavior with having a high self-awareness and knowing when you're just about to do something stupid. Does it make sense?
I love it. I could listen to you all day about this stuff. So a couple things is I will definitely put those critical moments in the show notes. And so something that I was thinking about when you were, you know, going over all of this was, since you've worked with traders and helping them journal and you explained to us the process that a trader should go through when journaling. What is the trading success factor that you've noticed after traders have started to journal?
The most common one is really that overwhelm disappears. Traders feel super helpless. They're like, I make the same mistake over and over again. I don't know what's wrong with me. Will I ever make it? And their fears get triggered. When they start journaling and they have in black and white, they understand, they see what they're doing, then that fear just disappears, because suddenly this thing that looked like a monster is just like a little pussycat. As I said before, it's usually very specific one or two behaviors that they now can change. And it's not this ambiguous, I don't know what's wrong with me thing anymore. So it gives them confidence, it gives them certainty, it gives them courage, and they can become so much more intentional in accelerating their trading success. Because now they can say, every time I switch from, going from one to two contracts, it's okay. But when I switch from two to four contracts, then I start self-sabotaging. So I need to maybe go a little bit slower. So this instant feedback. I just want to read you something. So one trader just emailed me before. When you told me to start tracking my setups, I really did not want to do it. Now that I'm a bit further into the work of trying to differentiate those setups from one another, and now that I've added the nuance of runners, which has to be managed differently in different trade types, I'm actually excited to start tracking them. I'm not there yet, but I'm working towards it. And that was exactly my experience as well. I became a statistics monster. Because, you know, it's like when you look good, Anthony, right, and you have worked out a lot. I don't know about you, but I can't stop looking in the mirror. And then when I haven't worked out and I'm maybe a bit chubby, I don't want to look in the mirror at all. And this is exactly the time when we have to look in the mirror the most. And when we start overcoming our resistance, we start looking in the mirror and we start seeing improvements, we start getting excited about the possibilities. Another trader shared with me just recently how he has so much more clarity now that he's tracking his performance. Again, it's all about clarity, confidence, and certainty, the three C's. I see that over and over again. And because they have this clarity, certainty, and confidence, their behavior in the market is so, so different. They trust themselves more. They take the trades when they're supposed to take them. The urges and the impulses, they start dissipating more and more. I could go on and on and on about the benefits of journaling and the success factors of journaling. Did that answer the question, or do you want some more examples?
No, that was perfect. I was just thinking, when you say look in the mirror, when I look in the mirror the most is after a good haircut, Mandy, because that is that is when I'm the most happy. No, but in all seriousness, so you say that you become a statistics junkie. When is too much statistics just too much?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. So it could also become an addiction.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And then take us away from focusing on the process and focusing what's important. It can become a bit like an ego trip for ourselves, not necessarily that we share that with others, but so then as a side effect or as a major impact, it can affect our performance again, definitely.
Yeah, because I go back to myself and I have an addictive personality. Once I find something that's working for me, no matter what it is in my life, I just continue to basically press it. You know, that's just how I'm built. I've mentioned before on the show, I was really struggling. I bought this pair of black gym shoes. I had a great day. I wore those black gym shoes until they fell off my feet. So it's just one of those things where I know myself as a person. Even when I find things that I like to eat. I'll eat those until I just burn them out. So when I hear you talk about, you know, getting statistics on yourself, because of my personality, and I bet there's a lot of other traders out there that are similar to me, that all of a sudden you could just take this to a level where you're almost confusing yourself. So that's why I asked that question. And what I'd like to do is, just to close this out, is just give us a what you think are the absolute most important things that somebody should be journaling. And then what I want to talk about after that is analyzing those things and how those could potentially help you with your execution. So it's like, now that you have journaled those things that you're going to tell us that everyone should be looking at, how do they then look at those things and then actually help them with their trading?
The biggest feedback I get is when we do the critical moments exercise, when they have for 1 week, when they have to write down what is the main mistakes that they're making. And then consequently, we look at what is the trigger for that behavior, and or what is the warning signs for that behavior. So it's not necessarily stopping this behavior. We are human beings. We do make mistakes. It's about having the awareness that we can manage our behaviors more and more, better and better. And what I see with most traders is they don't stop making mistakes, but they catch themselves faster. And because they catch themselves faster, they can correct the mistakes faster as well. Just one thing, Anthony, what I found really interesting is, I don't know if you know Alba Capital Management on Twitter. So Steve Deacon, he used to trade for Paul Tudor Jones, and they didn't keep, so the traders did not keep the statistics themselves. They had someone keeping the statistics for them. And once a week or once a month, they were called to the office and they had to discuss the statistics with someone else, with their trade manager, I guess. And for someone with an addictive personality, that could also be useful, having someone else look at it.
Yeah, I like that. Right when you said it, I'm like, I like that idea.
It's also very confronting, right?
Yep.
So it's all about self-awareness. That's the key. Self-awareness, and this is why meditation is so great as well, because it helps us self-awareness. Because self-awareness helps us to really be, I say it again, I don't know how to say it in any other way, but to really be aware of our behaviors when we are just about to do something stupid. And then we can stop it right in the tracks. So when I feel my calves are getting tight, I can do some work on my back, and my back is not going to slip a disc. When I'm getting out of a really good trade and I feel this feeling of superwoman syndrome creeping up in my solar plexus, I know the signs, and I know that I'm just about to have the urge to re-enter this trade, and I'm not going to do it because I know what the consequence is. And you know, sometimes I miss out on good trades, but the many times I have saved myself from it, woo. So it gives us greater self-control. We need to have the system that works well, of course, but it also gives us greater self-control and greater clarity. When we know our strengths and our weaknesses, then we can also say, I can see, for example, with my performance statistics, I know that I don't perform on Mondays. No idea why. It does not make sense. I haven't figured it out for my life as yet. Then I thought, I'm going to be smart. I'm not going to trade on Mondays. And then Tuesdays didn't work out. So I realized I have to trade on Mondays to warm up on Tuesdays. My statistics tell me that. My statistics are telling me, or told me, that I perform best at reversal pattern trades. I didn't make that up. I didn't say I'm a trend follower or I'm a reversal pattern trader. No, my statistics showed me. I did not choose to be a DEX trader, and I did not choose to a not gold trader. I should not trade gold. I can't trade it for my life. If I look at my statistics, every time I traded gold, I stuffed up my trading. Every time I traded the DEX, my statistics showed me that I performed best in the DEX. And not only that, my statistics show me that I perform best at the opening drive. So best, don't trade anything else. I should only trade the opening drive of the XJO, so the Aussie market, opening drive of the DAX, and opening drive of the US market. How do I know that? Not because I feel or because I think or because it's the biggest fun. No, because my statistics tell me exactly. This is the power. So now I don't need to clown around. I don't go to gold anymore because I know I don't perform in it. Yes, sometimes I get tempted and I put on a small position and then it shows me again, no, don't touch gold.
I've had the same relationship with gold, unfortunately. You know, hearing you talk about all of this, I can relate to it in so many ways. I could sit here and probably talk for another hour on some of the things that statistics have helped me with. And I just want to name a couple that I think are very important, that have been very instrumental to me. And one of the things that I noticed when I was looking back at my statistics way back when I first started was I was losing more than I was winning, but yet I was still making money. Now, this was like maybe on year three for me and when I really started getting into more into my statistics. And that really helped me deal with loss because I hated to lose. And when I had realized, hey, you know what? I'm actually losing more than I'm winning and I'm making money. So mentally, that helped me click the button when I was about to get out of a loser intraday. And I've talked about this on a recent show. I don't want to say it was a turning point for me, but just that recognition of that at that moment, something that I was fighting, wanting to get out of a losing trade, just became easier for me. And you mentioned Mondays.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mondays. Monday mornings have been notorious for me to have bad days. I think as you come in over the weekend, mentally you're a little bit slower, just like typically right after I buy something or I'm about to buy something big, like a car or a home, or you're about to go on vacation. I have had moments where I have just really taken my biggest losses, and it's just because mentally you're not focused. So those things I have learned through my statistics by just seeing a pattern of times when I'm not trading well. And you recognize that during those times, there was something else going on in your life that translated into your trading. Go back to the beginning when you said, what? Define a distraction. That's why I said, while I'm trading, because I came from the pit and everybody was screaming and yelling and saying things about each other, to each other, nothing really bothered me when it came to while I was trading. It was always things I was thinking about that were happening outside of my life while I was trading. And those have always been the things that I've struggled with the most, which is why I've said from the beginning, take us back to the start of today, working on your personal edge. Mandy, this was awesome. I mean, it is so great to speak with you again. Where can people find you on Twitter? Because you know you're absolutely a must follow in my book. And also give us a website to check out.
Thank you so much, Anthony. My Twitter name is MPX_trader. And my website is tradingpsychology.com.au. I have to say I'm not a psychologist. I bought this website in 2006 when there was no political correctness. And now I have to be so careful. I'm a trained coach. But my website is tradingpsychology.com.au. And I absolutely love talking with you. I could talk as well for hours. Preferably over a beer.
Yeah, you know what? And maybe next year we get to meet in person. I'm hoping to make my way over to Australia. You're in Melbourne, right?
Yes, I'm in Melbourne.
Yeah. So hopefully next year we meet in person. Mandy, thank you again so much for coming on Futures Radio Show.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you for listening to Futures Radio Show. If you have any questions or comments for myself or my guests, please visit futuresradioshow.com and sign up to be a premium member for free. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.